Gaudete in Domino, semper itero dico gaudete. Rejoice in the Lord always, I say, rejoice. This is, as All Sundays, called by the first words of the introit, Gaudete. It is Gaudete Sunday. And for many centuries, the Church on this day, with those words of St. Paul's epistle, allows her children, who especially in former times, today I don't think so much, were performing greater penances. And of course, in the old days, they not only abstained from meat, they abstained from eggs and any other kind of thing, cheese even. They really abstained. And so on this day, they were allowed to have a little more of the pleasures of life. And of course, other things happen in the liturgy which do not apply here, because we are just a little shrine, a little parish church. But one of the things that is most obvious is that the deep penitential color of Advent, as we see even in the Advent wreath, the deep purple of penance, is relaxed just a little bit to the rose, the lower penance, lesser penance of Advent, so that today we can do other things that we did not do the rest of the season. And of course, hopefully, you are doing a lot of things on your own. Today, in addition, we have the beautiful meditations from the Gospel concerning the precursor of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we go forward in the liturgy, and in the liturgy we do this, as you know, backwards and forwards to different episodes that happened before, during, or after. Of course, we haven't yet in our calendar celebrated the Nativity of the Lord, where we will in a few days. But it's already happened. We are just commemorating that which has already happened. But we seek to insert ourselves, integrate ourselves into the mystery. But the liturgy doesn't do that necessarily. And so we go forward 30 years in time to the preaching of the cousin of our Lord, St. John the Baptist. Now it's interesting, and I'll point out, St. John points out that the Lord is preferred before me. That is, he existed before me, and yet he comes after me. And of course we know this. At the visitation of Mary to St. Elizabeth and Zechariah and St. John the Baptist in the womb, which we in a sense also celebrate today, though there is another feast, the baby Jesus was in the womb of Mary. The baby John was in the womb of St. Elizabeth. And the minute Mary entered and wished greetings to her cousin, who most likely was a second or third cousin, Elizabeth was in her 70s, maybe more. Mary was only about 14 years old, so she could not have been her first cousin. At that moment, as St. Elizabeth would say, the moment the sound of your voice entered my ears, the baby leapt in my womb for joy. St. John the Baptist was baptized by Jesus' presence, in the presence of Mary, who brings him in the womb of his mother Elizabeth. Why? Because he was prepared to the precursor of the Lord, the precursor of the Messiah. He is the last prophet of the Old Testament, the first prophet of the New, and he's in a very, very special way. And so he eventually, 30 years later, begins to preach that which he was sent to preach, that for which he was created. And he preaches penance and gives a penitential baptism that does not cleanse the soul from original sin. That is for Christ to bestow when he is ready. But St. John the Baptist conferred his baptism, his washing, which is originally what the word in Greek, baptizo, means, for a sign of repentance from sins. But it does not really wash away their sins. And he says, one is to come after me, who will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The Holy Spirit, who is involved in all the mysteries of the church, and especially the seven sacraments of the church, beginning with baptism. He it is who, when the priest pours the sacred water over our heads, comes down, and with him come the Father and the Son. And we become a temple of the Holy Trinity. But it also refers to the end of life and to the end of time. He says, fire. That means judgment. That means punishment. And so the Holy Spirit will remind us that if we are not sorry for our sins and repentant for our sins, we will be judged and will be punished as meets be with the eternal fire of hell. And so the Church reminds us, even on this Sunday before Christmas, as we relive these sacred mysteries, to avoid everything that could keep us from God, that could keep us from grace, that could send us to the fires of hell. And of course, in this past week, and we will have many other things beside in the next few days, Tuesday we begin the wonderful novena in preparation for Christmas, which is also prayed in the liturgy of Vespers every evening, the antiphon for the Magnificat, the O antiphons, and of course, this has been put into song elsewhere, O come, Emmanuel, and other verses. We have had so many blessings that involve the Blessed Mother. On the 10th of December, we had the wonderful feast of Our Lady of Loreto, the patroness of the home, of family, and of flyers. Not only pilots, but flyers. And so many of us fly here and there. We need help. We need to be protected. So she is the one that we should go to. And then on the 12th, we had the wonderful feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Our Lady, who is the Blessed Mother, who is at this part of the season of salvation. She comes as she is, a sinless princess. She stands on the moon, and she is surrounded by the rays of the sun. And she is crowned everywhere and each which way with stars. And in recent years has been discovered, and you know, there's a lot of things. We have the same thing in front of our eyes all the time, but we don't see. They have eyes but do not see. They have ears but do not hear. Just like you. And it was discovered that in her mantle that she wears, the stars are not just haphazard. They are the constellations that were found in the heavens on that night of December the 12th of 1531 that announced the coming of the Mother of the Messiah. It's interesting, somebody pointed out, in Germany a few years before, the heresiarch, the evil Augustinian friar, or monk, or whatever you want to call him, he started a heresy, and 5 million souls were lost to heresy, to evil, to sin. Unfortunately, probably forever. And in 1531, the Blessed Mother appears to this young Aztec prince who has become a Catholic and was going to Mass. And in a couple of years, 9 million new Christians are baptized by the gift of faith that is given to them. And so these things we have celebrated, and there's no reason why we should stop. We can meditate. But all these mysteries, we shouldn't fill ourselves with the reality, with the luminous light of the fact that the Blessed Mother is coming to us and brings us the Christ child. And then on Christmas night at midnight, blessed be the hour and the moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary at midnight in the piercing cold. At that hour, vouchsafe, O my God, to hear my prayers and grant my desires through the merits of our Savior Jesus Christ and of His Blessed Mother. We are supposed to say this during Advent 15 times a day. And I usually say them in the middle of the night in case my mind wanders to other things. There are so many things. But what a wonderful prayer and a wonderful gift that is. But all of Advent in particular, we have the Blessed Mother who is coming just as she went to St. Elizabeth, to St. Zachary, into St. John the Baptist. We have the Blessed Mother who comes to us. And so everything and everywhere we should see and feel the Blessed Mother who comes to us. What a wonderful gift. And she comes to us, and it is wonderful not because it is just she, immaculate and sinless and wonderful though she be. She comes to us with her Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What more can we ask? What more can we celebrate? So with St. Paul, indeed, we repeat, Gaudete in Domino, Gaudete. The Lord is nigh. Let us prepare for Him. And let's get rid of anything in our souls, in our hearts, in our lives, that impedes His coming. The only one who can keep Him from coming to you fully is you. And of course, that doesn't mean that I'm going to be here till midnight hearing confessions. I am not. You know when I do it, so take advantage of it. And if not, don't complain. But it's important that we prepare ourselves for the coming of our Lord. With the prophet St. David, we can sing in the Psalms, is there any nation like ours that deserves such a God like He is? Any visitation like His, who comes to us, with peace and love and joy and salvation? Gaudete in Domino, iterum dico, Gaudete. In nomine Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.